If you've had enough, or had near enough, sick and tired of that old man looking down on us, come together, as we think we got a plan. Save a teeny tiny traveling folk band.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Flat Nickel Podcast. I'm your host, Hannah Nawa, sincerely hoping that church bells aren't copyrighted. If you hear a little bit of a soft bell chirping in the background, that is the fact that I have quite thin walls and I am located very close to a church that has currently been playing bells for the past 15 minutes. So if you hear that in the background, just giving you a heads up. But today we are back to our regularly scheduled typical interview where we sit down with one band and talk to them for an hour and give you guys an episode. That a lot more goes into it than just that. But today's episode is with Mockcore, and I'm super excited. I didn't know what to expect when I was going into this interview. They are actually a band local to me, but they've built quite a substantial following and have had a wealth of knowledge to share with me, and also just were really engaging and had a lot of really, universal experiences when it came to the music industry. And I had such a great time talking to them. As a matter of fact, we actually ended the episode and then continued to sit in our green room and talk for well over an hour just about everything. And it was so great to talk to them. And unfortunately, because these episodes are normally about 45 minutes, we didn't get to put everything in this episode that I would have liked to. So these are definitely some guys that I'm going to want back for a part two. We are planning on doing a couple of follow-ups for some of our most popular episodes and also people that we're going to see again here shortly. So make sure you stay tuned for that. And also, if there's ever an episode that you think that we should do a follow-up with, one that you particularly liked and you have questions that you'd like us to ask or things you'd like us to investigate a little bit more, then send us an email, drop us a line on Instagram. And this is a really fun episode. I really enjoyed it, and I hope you guys enjoy it as well. Hey everyone, real quick, we wanted to give a big thanks to our sponsor for this episode, Butterpear. Butterpear offers Liberian artisan goods that benefit education in Liberia. 100% of profits go directly back to support students and schools in Liberia, West Africa. You can check out their amazing products and learn more about them at butterpear.com. That's BUTTERPEAR.com. And if you want to get 20% off, you can use our exclusive discount code FLATNICKEL at checkout. That's all lowercase FLATNICKEL.
All your rehearsing and then something like we played at Uprise 5 years ago, and the sound guy didn't even show up like until 5 minutes before it was supposed to start. So, needless to say, it started 2 hours late.
Oh my gosh, that's insane. Yeah. Have you not played Uprise between now and then?
Nope, just 5 years.
Were you guys doing something else? Were you...
Mainly, the way Uprise works is I started it. I started it 15 years ago with the CEO who runs it now.
Okay.
And so, because I'm so closely tied to it, he tries not to let us play too much.
Right.
Because it's just...
conflict of
interest. If we played every single year,
right,
people would start questioning, so...
Are you still involved with it at all outside
of... I am gently involved with it.
Gently.
Now I just do the hip-hop stage, which I know nothing about. Because they didn't have anybody do the hip-hop stage.
Yeah.
And it's the easy stage, so I'm like, fine, I can do that.
I just saw somebody post on Instagram that they're going to be... performing on the hip hop stage.
Was it
on
Friday? On
Friday? Like at 4:30.
They better not be, because we're not doing a hip hop stage on Friday.
So oh, that's
they'll be,
fun.
They'll be performing to no one.
That's
they're just doing main stage on Saturday. Or Friday is just main stage. And it's all like really poppy stuff.
Maybe he put the wrong day. I did that today.
Was it Aaron?
I honestly can't remember.
There's Aaron and Spence. And then how many people do you follow that's playing there?
Oh, I Honestly, the only... I think it was just one of those things where through my shop account, I follow a lot of university students or just anyone in the area to have community interaction.
Well, Aaron's local. Aaron Colentz is...
That might have been it.
Yeah, he played the last 2 years there.
I really don't know anything about Uprise, other than the fact that I can hear it from here when I leave.
Apparently,
work
the whole town can.
it's quite the shindig.
Well, and the stage we're on this year, they supposedly even added more sound, so it'll be even louder.
Wow, that's.
And it's pointed in a different direction, so you're going to probably hear just that stage.
It's so interesting to me that it's something that has like. I've always known it.
Yeah.
Like it's been around since I was a kid, and so I've always known that it was a thing, but I've never been, and it's really interesting to see how big of a deal it is for Shippensburg, especially like it's the thing.
Yeah.
And it's bringing in artists that I recognize, and artists that I recognize as someone that doesn't really listen to that genre.
Right.
And it really is just like such an impressive feat to be able to pull off.
I feel it could be a lot larger, and I've had that conversation with Scott Brown many times, because as a marketer, I just feel like we're in the Bible Belt, and being the type of music it is, most of it is music that's played in church youth groups. So they should have, you know, twice as many kids coming out for that price, for crying out loud. There should be it should be blasting out the seams and people like crawling all over Shippensburg. But
well, and we're a town, for our listeners that aren't familiar, we're a town of 5,000 people with 40 churches. There is a church on every street corner. The way that when you go up to New England, there's a Dunkin' Donuts on every street corner, there's a church on every street corner in Shippensburg. And it's, yeah, you're right. We are. It's weird because I never think of us as being in the Bible Belt, but we kind of are.
No, we are definitely in the Bible Belt, which is not a bad thing, because really, when you're in the Bible Belt, you find some really great people, that don't feel the need to slam their opinions down your throat. It's just those couple people that sour it, you know.
That makes it no fun for everybody else.
Right,
that's
right.
The cool
thing about these areas is you find the most giving people. Not saying other areas don't have it, because you have places in Seattle that are equally as giving. You know, you have lots of, but it's just a different, like, go to Utah and they're giving too. But it's just kind of neat to have this type of area that there's a lot of diversity, but yet you don't feel it because it's so small.
We're actually, I'm interviewing The Protest, which is playing.
Yeah, The Protest, they're great guys.
On Saturday, so I'm really excited about that. I pretty much went through the Uprise roster and just sent emails, and I did it like a week ago, and so the fact that I've actually had people respond to me is great, because I wasn't planning.
No, The Protest, they're phenomenal guys.
I'm excited, they're really going to be on their way home, and their PR guy has been so like nice and helpful, and that's been really great, because I have a lot of bad experiences with PR reps, and so he was super friendly, and I'm like, I want to work with you again. Like,
was it Jeremy Holderfield or
Ed from No Problem PR?
Okay, I don't know Ed.
Yeah, he was super helpful, and I've never had a positive experience with a PR person.
The cool thing about The Protest is they should have been signed several times. But they have always felt passionate about their people and caring about their people, and they wanted to make sure that whoever signed them was going to have that equal passion.
Do you guys have a team that you work with? I think you mentioned before we started talking on air that you have a booking agent that you're going to be working with.
We do. We have a booking agent. He's based out of California. He actually, his expertise has been in mainstream music. It's not really in our so he'll struggle, because we actually are what would be considered a crossover band. We're a band that can play in both fields, you know, because for the most part, we're family friendly, you know. We don't have any reason to not be, you know. So we can, our belief, our basis for who we are, you know, allows us to be at, you know, faith-based festivals as well as at you know, regular festivals. So he'll be struggling with that because he had such a bad experience with music, and that's why he pulled away from it. He was tired of, to him, he describes it as just, you know, hell, because he was, every festival he would go to support his bands, it was just so much nastiness, and he didn't want anything to do with it anymore. And he's like, I'm not doing it anymore, and I'm gonna put you guys in that. He goes, so if you ask to be at a festival, I'll get you there, but but I'll be hoping that you get in and get out.
Yeah. Booking is like, I feel like one of the most draining things. Like every time booking comes up, either on the podcast or just in conversations I've had with friends, like I booked for an alt rock band when I first started out, and I will never book again. Like, just people are so mean when it comes to booking emails. Like, I never want to do it again. And I know that the band that exists now came from your former band,
mm-hmm.
correct?
Yeah.
So the music that, when I go to your radio play section of your website, is that as the band now? Is that the previous, so bad at remember, Blushing?
Blushing Well, you're right.
Blushing Well.
You did your homework good enough.
I did my homework, I promise. It's so pretty. That's such a pretty name, too.
Right,
it's just Blushing, and I'm like, was, oh, this sounds so nice. And then,
right. It was always so confusing to people because they thought
it sounds like an acoustic, like, country act.
We would get into coffee houses and stuff, and I don't think they did their homework. And so they'd see a whole bus unloading, because we used to travel on a bus.
Yeah.
So they'd see a whole bus unloading, and they're like, oh my goodness, are you guys going to be able to turn down the drums and acoustic drums? Like, no. Oh, it's going to be really loud. We're like, we know. You booked us, though. You should have did your homework.
Can you say your band name so I'm sure I'm saying it right?
Mahcore.
Okay.
It's actually Mahcore,
mm-hmm.
but there's no way we're ever going to get anybody. Most people screw up it as it is. They're like Mahcore or Mahlcore.
Yeah.
Like, we have people that just like to make, some of our fans like to just make fun of it for the fun of it. Like, they'll put pictures up of grandmas and Grandmacore.
Which, it's Hebrew for the word wellspring.
Yes.
I knew that.
Woohoo! Good job.
Big fan of anything Hebrew.
My wife is too. My wife loves listening to the Hebrew language. It's just a beautiful language.
I had really close family friends that were from Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm actually planning on getting Hineni, which is Here I Am in Hebrew, as
okay.
a tattoo, because it's such a beautiful language, and,
mm-hmm.
and it's so
mm-hmm.
great to hear people feel connected to it.
Yeah.
But when I'm seeing like the radio play section of your website, is that as Blushing Well? Is that as
what you're seeing is Mahcore?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
When you are, is there somebody that sends your music out for radio play? Are you working with like a PR agent? Are you working with?
We distributed it through. The cool thing about the world we live in is there's distributors available for you no matter how big or small you are. Now, being around the block several times, we know how to push it a lot harder than, you know, say a new band would. New
mm-hmm.
bands would just think that it just pops up and everybody's going to hear it. No, it's not that. We've had to work really, really hard at pushing it out there. But we've done it all ourselves. To this point, we're in discussion with a couple record labels now because we've done a lot of work
mm-hmm.
and they're noticing. And whatever comes of that, we don't know, because there's a fine line to cross, that line that says we've worked really hard, this is our baby, do we release this baby to somebody else, or do we continue to grow this baby and hope that we can do it on our own?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you can't. Sometimes you really just have to say they have more clout than we do, and they're going to get a lot more traction than we're going to get. And so then it's just like, okay, how much can we sacrifice? And then we're in that stages. We have a record label out of England that wants to work with us. I just had another conversation with him today. He seems like a really cool guy. I like listening to English people talk. It's really fun. We had a good conversation today, and we're just trying to find out the best route, because the material that's out there could actually stand to have more exposure, and he
mm-hmm.
feels that too. So we are working on a new project. So he's like, so what do you want to do? Do you want to just wait for the new project, or do you want to, you want us to, you know, go ahead and do this. And then our, the same guy who does our booking, he's, because he has the connections, he's actually working on Universal Records. We'll see. We'll see what he does. I don't know. I mean, it's a bigger record label, but sometimes you don't get that personal touch. You said earlier in our talk that the personal touch is pretty important, you know, and it is. It's there is something to be said for working for a family business.
Has there been a point previously where you were in talks to be signed and you decided not to?
Several times.
What sort of was the decision not to go with signing with a label? Because this is something we talk about a lot.
Sounded really bad, most of them. Like, when we were blushing, well, we were offered a record deal. It was a development deal with Hollywood Records. Mm-hmm. And talked to them, seemed like for hours on the phone. And by the end of the conversation, not having a lawyer on hand makes it really rough to decipher things. But when you walk away from it, all you feel is, we're not getting anything out of this. So that was the one record label we walked away from, because it just, it felt like they were taking 100%, and if they got the traction, then maybe they would sign us for more. So we just decided no and kept going.
How have you guys grown your fan base? As far as the types of shows that you're playing and marketing that you're doing, how are you? Because when I saw your follower count on Facebook, I was very impressed. especially as a band from this area,
right?
You know what I mean? Right. Like, that was something I was like, wait, this is cool. I had no idea, and I've heard your name so many times. Like, you have a reputation, and it is something that I've heard a lot of times in this area. So I definitely knew about you before I did any of this research.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as like growing your fan base, what have you done to try and build?
We just put pictures up of Ben. That's how it works. Pictures of Ben get most traction. No, I'm just kidding.
The most follower engagement is.
Yeah, it usually. Actually, the most follower engagement this year had been our drummer Paul, his birthday. That had gotten the most hits. It's weird. I because I'm such an old fart when it comes to music. I miss the MySpace days because it was so beautiful. They cared about bands more than Facebook. So it's been a learning process. It really is. It takes a lot of hours. I mean, I'm not even going to sit here and pretend that there's some magic behind it. There's no magic behind it. It is pure heartache some days, where you're literally just sitting there going, what can I do today? Mm-hmm. How can I make this happen? How can I do this? And so it is about quantity. It's about being everywhere that you can possibly get. It's all about quantity. I keep saying the band as a whole, but I'm the marketing guy. Mm-hmm. So I have to beat down doors every single day. And I don't say that with any pride, because we really do work hard as a band, and everybody has their, I mean, without each person, we don't even know how we'd do it. Like, it's amazing how music works together, because you never expect those types of things. People from different backgrounds. I mean, Ben, he spends all his time in the countryside, you know, looking at God's nature, and then he comes to our neck of the woods and has to wonder why he did it. He's laughing quietly. He's so talkative sitting here.
You mentioned the MySpace days, and I think we've talked about this a couple times on some episodes, but how, in what way is it different, sort of having promoted on MySpace, or trying to build a band following on MySpace, which is something that we hear a lot about, versus, you know, Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and the stuff that is current and popular?
Well, the one thing that MySpace always provided was an actual artist playlist. You got put on a radio station. Like, so you would submit your music to MySpace, and then they would put that into rotation. They still actually have that. I haven't looked at MySpace for a while. Last time I looked, they still have that radio station in rotation, which was amazing because people would discover you just because you were on the MySpace radio, and they would come looking for you right off of MySpace. So we would get follower after. I mean, I was surprised. I never really paid attention to it, and I went back to the old MySpace one day, and I was like, holy cow, our songs are getting tons of plays, because now they report the plays. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's probably been 2 years since I looked at it, but our old stuff's still getting plays, and three of the songs each had over 10,000 plays on MySpace. So I'm like, and that's like literally people going and listening to it. That's how it was structured. It wasn't like a YouTube channel where people will click on it and then click right off of it. And it counts it as a view. And you're like, ah, it probably wasn't a view. Darn it.
it doesn't do that anymore.
It does. It still does. As long as they watch past the commercial.
There's also your you can go in and look at your analytics, I think, and find where people click off during a video.
It'll tell you how many seconds they watched.
Right, yeah. Are you guys on any streaming services?
We are. We're on Spotify and Pandora and Slacker and...
Okay, tell me about submitting to Pandora, because when I worked for White Lake Fire, this is something that we wanted to do, and they broke up before we ever got the chance to do it. Not that I'm shading them or bitter or anything like that, but I'm very bitter. Because I remember looking at it. Mm-hmm. I remember looking at the little, here's how you send the email or whatever. I guess, like, were there specific songs that you submitted that you thought would have a better response? Or, like, how long did it take for them to get back to you? Was it, like, would you consider it easy process?
For us, it was.
Okay.
Because, like I said, the beauty of things. We use CD Baby. CD Baby is phenomenal for these types of things. And as long as you go with Pro CD Baby, which really is only a couple dollars more, they do all the submission for you. They tell you who's accepted and who hasn't. And we haven't yet been turned down by anybody. So that's kind of, I don't know if that's magic or meant to be or whatever it is. For whatever reason, they submit you over 40 different sites, and all 40 sites have accepted us. So maybe we're just fortunate, and I'll say that, we'll just go with that. But it's been very easy.
Yeah.
Like iTunes it was never that easy before, because I used to have to physically go to iTunes and beg and beg and beg. So
I would love for CD Baby to sponsor this podcast, just manifest that a little bit. What is Slacker?
Slacker Radio is, in my opinion, becoming better than Pandora.
Okay.
It is, what Slacker does is they use Spotify.
Okay.
So somehow they're tied, and if they're listening in, they can correct me on this, but they're somehow tied into how Spotify puts together their playlist, and they just, I think it just is like a web crawler, and it just crawls the web, and it grabs things that are most played off of Spotify. It's, you submit directly to Slacker, but I think that it's just to get into their database, but they use Spotify to play from.
Is there like one streaming service that you think is particularly beneficial to have as a band? Because I feel like there is, weirdly enough, this air of legitimacy as a booker when I book shows here. If a band is on Spotify, is that sort of your experience? Is there something that, like, you feel like is essential to be on?
Yeah, and the top three are Spotify, YouTube, and Pandora.
Do you release your songs on Pandora, like individual videos for songs in your album?
We do. Or we just do the whole album. We'll do each album at a time.
Okay. You have music videos.
We do.
Can you tell me a little about those? Because I produce music videos.
I know. You said that earlier. Like, the process of doing it or getting them on?
Like, the idea, who you reached out to, who you worked with. If you want to have another one, call me.
Well, I'm glad you're putting that out there, because we're going to want to have more.
Yes, I am a big fan of anyone that wants to hire me. But I guess, you know, why did you... Here's a good question, at least I think so. Why did you choose the songs that you chose for videos? That was not grammatically correct, but I hope that made sense.
It's okay, I understand what you're saying. Because we liked them.
Okay, so there wasn't, like, in your head some strategic... Because now, a lot of the bands that we've interviewed for this podcast, they're only releasing singles.
Right.
Which I have weird feelings about.
Right. We only did EPs, and I felt weird about that. Because it didn't tell the whole story.
Mm-hmm.
So, beauty of this new record label is they want to release the whole album, and then we'll get to tell the whole story, which will be nice. Because EPs are just so choppy and weird and...
When you write an album, are you writing it as one continuous arc, one continuous story?
Yes.
Are you putting the songs in order for the story?
When it's released as an album,
yes. It will be. Yes. Okay.
As EPs go, this process was fun.
Yeah.
Because we weren't supposed to do EPs. We spent time getting... putting out the crowdfund, and mm-hmm. we had people, we surprisingly on the last day, such a weird situation, like, I would never recommend Kickstarter mm-hmm. to anybody who doesn't have clout, and we didn't have clout at that time, we still really don't. Kickstarter is for somebody who can definitely do it, because you only have 30 days. If you don't make it in those 30 days, they take all your money away.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the worst. We did Kickstarter, and it was so funny, because on the 30th day, we hadn't made it, but somebody was watching us, and they wrote us a check. Unfortunately, they wrote us a check. We were able to do the recording, but they wrote us a check, so everybody else who had used the Kickstarter, we had to go and email them individually and beg them, saying, we realized you submitted on Kickstarter, but here's what it is. Kickstarter isn't going to take the money because we didn't reach the goal on Kickstarter. Right. Oh, that was so fun.
Is there another... Have you used any other crowdfunding
platform? Not yet, because we haven't had to yet. We've been in discussions about that for the next one. Sometimes God works in really weird ways. We've actually been in discussion with a group that is considering... finding us the money,
mm-hmm.
which we're all about that. Because while crowdfunding can be fun for some people, for us it's a terrible process. Because we have this heart to give to people so much, and I realize there are people out there that have the same heart that want to give, and they want a project to back, and that makes them feel important. But we feel like we feel terrible for having to go, hey, everybody, we need you to give us some money.
Mm-hmm.
Give us some money. And the problem with crowd funds is if you don't meet your deadline, then you feel like you've been dishonest to people. Because
mm-hmm.
now you've passed your deadline. Now they're not getting what they have put mm-hmm. money into. I would much rather them have something in hand when it's time to have something in hand. And so we're hoping that we don't have to do a crowdfund again.
We've, a band that we, or I never know what to call them. She paints a live painting on stage while he plays piano and
sings. That's
cool. And it's an incredible act. But they've been doing Patreon.
Mm.
And they've had really good luck with that, because for them, they have to have something to give their
right.
patrons and have a physical thing, and because she's an absurdly talented artist, you know, sometimes that's they get a cartoon sent to them, or, you know, singles that people haven't heard, or
that's cool.
anything like that. But crowdfunding is something that I think is always really interesting, because it seems like everybody has a very different opinion on it.
Right.
Bands do crowdsource, and I've seen a lot of bands not have the album come out on time or not come out at all.
Right.
Like that.
Right.
I think there's a whole subreddit for crowdfunding projects that just never came out and people lost their money.
Yeah. And we see that. I think what's burned me is being friends with so many artists, and you get an invite to their live video, and they're like, they might be listening, but our bus blew up. Our engine is fried. We need to raise $40,000 right now.
Mm-hmm.
As a person who's owned a bus, there's no engine that costs $40,000. So what are you doing with the rest of the money? Like, the place that we took our bus to get it repaired was a $2,200. They take the whole engine out, rebuild it, put it back in for $2,200. Now, that's a lot of money to some people, but that's not a lot of money.
$40,000.
That's not $40,000. So, like, I think that's probably why I've been so turned off to it. Why maybe as a band we've been, because we just are like, man, dragging our feet on this whole crowdfund. I know, Ben, you feel the same way. You feel weird about crowdfunds. So we were talking about it, and he's like, I don't know about that.
Asking people for money has always felt weird, so.
Yeah. I mean, missionaries do it. So why shouldn't we? But it's just those types of situations and watching other people just abuse the crowdfund thing, like you just said, like, where did money go? And then they just disappear.
When you see other bands doing that sort of thing, or when you see them doing something that doesn't seem ethical, what is your response? Is that something that you reach out to them and say, you know, shouldn't be doing this? Is it sort of a quiet whisper in the back?
It's a quiet whisper. I've tried to bow out of a lot of things just because I don't necessarily believe in karma, but I do believe that some things come back to you.
Mm-hmm.
So be careful what you do, because somebody's going to find out and they're not going to be happy, and they're going to be the wrong person to have found out. So I believe in living a life in a way that, you know, you're honorable in all the things you do, that you're so transparent that people know that you're not out to gouge them, even from at a concert setting. You know, could we charge more for merchandise? Yeah, we can. Should we? Probably not. You know, like, because we want people to have our stuff. We want them to be a part of this experience, and they're coming impoverished as well. Like, there's just a certain level where you have to, you know, like, okay, yeah, we could do it, but that's wrong, mm-hmm. you know? So let's not do that.
I actually have a list of questions on my phone, one of which was about your merch. I noticed when I go to the merch page on your website, you can't tell, I pretty much, when I interview a band, I try and find their website and read everything I can.
That's phenomenal. That's the way it should be. It's always weird when people are asking you questions like, ooh.
You sure that's right? That's how I feel today. I feel all over the place. But the bottom of your merch, there's a place where you can click for an extended merch selection through Gearbubble.
Yes, through Gearbubble, which is a really weird place.
Okay, well, so I'm really interested. I've never heard of Gearbubble.
I never heard of it either.
How did you find it?
Brussels and Chambersburg. I happened to be having coffee. No, well, yes, I was visiting Brussels and I was having my scone and coffee, and downtown Chambersburg, there's a place called Brussels, and I was there for a meeting with a couple people, and the owner came over and was talking to me, and he's like, I noticed, because he's all about our band too, which is comical. He just loves us. He wanted us to do something in the alley. I'm like, I don't think Chambersburg can handle that, but whatever. but he wanted to do it, and then he backed off. But he's like, you need to sell your merch through Gearbubble. I'm like, what the heck is Gearbubble? And he showed it to me. I'm like, that's really cool. I can test market all of our stuff through Gearbubble. So that's why we use Gearbubble. It's fair price, and we can test market stuff, and if it doesn't sell, we can take it off. And that way, we're not spending oodles and oodles of dollars trying to figure out what works and what doesn't. And apparently the product is good. We figured out our issue. One guy ordered a shirt, and it had a weird thing in the design, and I'm like, that's not supposed to be there. And my brother, Jeremy, who's in the band as well, he does all the artwork, by the way. All of the designs you see, he's the one who's put them out there. And he went and did, we just looked at it 2 weeks ago, and he fixed it. He's like, I see what you're doing wrong here. So now the issue won't be there anymore. So now we know how to get around what was happening. It wasn't Gearbubble's fault. It was our dumb fault.
I really love the idea of being able to test market merch, because something that we, with the bands that we work with, we talk a lot about, like, well, what's the cool thing that you can have that people are going to want to buy?
Yeah.
And we work with a band called The Rough and Tumble, and she plays harmonica a mm-hmm. lot in her songs. They play a lot of weird stuff, like a mailbox with a kick.
Oh yeah, that's cool.
It's like really cool. And so now for their merch, they have branded harmonicas.
Okay.
And so just any kind of merch that isn't like I saw the phone cases as part of the gear bubble thing. Yeah. Like I think that's so cool because of course everybody's gonna have CDs, everybody's gonna have T-shirts. Like, what can set you apart?
They have other options on there too. We haven't figured out how to utilize it. Like, there's some really cool options on there that require engraving. So we just have to figure out how to get our design to work with engraving. So they have some cool stuff on the bracelets and like legitimate things that people would actually wear.
I feel like bracelets would be really cool for you guys.
Yeah. We're just trying to figure out how to do it. So,
one of the things that I do need to ask you about, because I feel mildly horrified. Can you explain to me what the Almost Christmas recipes are? And if I'm missing something?
I'm glad you asked.
Because I was a little scared, and I was like, I'm not sure I want to do this interview. We're doing polarized fish and fish mold.
We're going to do them again, probably, so watch out for that.
I'm going to link, when this episode comes out, I'm linking to it, and I'm posting a picture of it, and...
It's called attraction marketing.
If you think I won't try and make one of them, has anybody actually made any of their recipes?
Oh, no, but some of those were actual recipes. Like, some of them we made up, but some of them were, like, bizarrely found from 1940s and 1950s catalogs.
It doesn't
like,
surprise me at all.
What in the world is this? Like, mayonnaise glazed... Some, I don't know. There was some pretty bizarre stuff on there. Whew, there was a couple we made up on our own. Jeff came up with a couple. Jeremy came up with something. You came up with... Ben came up with something. It was Ben's Beans Bake or something like that. It was... Everyone else was putting out recipes at Christmas time. We're like, let's put out our own recipes at Christmas time. Who's not going to be looking for Christmas recipes? I mean, even our web designer, when they saw Banzoogles, if you're looking for... Banzoogles is awesome for bands, by the way. We were struggling with people who understood music, and Banzoogle hits it right on the head. And they contacted me as soon as they saw it going up. They're like, just wanted to let you know, this is awesome. No band has ever done this before.
It was the weirdest thing. I was like, oh, this seems really wholesome and like, this is going to be super cool. And I'm like, oh, this is adorable. I wouldn't have anticipated this. And then the first thing I saw was pulverized fish in a fish mold. And
I don't know who did that one.
It's especially fun for me because part of the like side marketing that we wanted to do for this podcast was have bands submit recipes and have me make them.
Oh boy, that'll be fun.
So if you do it again this year, let me know. Whoever over, we'll do our little cooking show of whatever this horrifying recipe is and hope for the best.
That'd be awesome. We did joke about making them too, but we did it so late. It was sort of like I saw recipes popping up and I asked everybody in the band, what do you think? And Ben was horrified too. He's like, no way.
Was it just because other bands were releasing Christmas recipes?
No, nobody was doing it.
Okay.
It's because no one was doing it, but all the, you know, the home, the house.
All the like Food the, Network.
Food
and
Network, they were
Martha
all doing
Stewart.
It. Yeah, so I mean, it could become a every holiday thing, but I don't know.
I feel like
it
you
took
need
a lot
to
of work.
Put all of that on Pinterest and see if anybody takes it. Seriously.
I did.
You did?
It's on. I think it's on Pinterest. We have our own. We have our Pinterest page. Malcor has
you have
Pinterest
a Pinterest page?
You gotta be everywhere.
What?
You gotta be everywhere.
We've talked about making a Pinterest page for the shop, and Sam said no.
Oh my goodness.
So
Pinterest, it depends on what you put on there. Like, Pinterest is amazing. You could be a band and you can do whatever. I don't know if I built it enough, but I think we started putting them on there. But regardless, we want to work on it more because we have more ideas for Pinterest. We thought if we could get really good at things, we could start doing our own craft section.
You could have your lyrics, like if you had someone calligraphy, turn them into motivational posters. That's what I want to do with things that people say on the podcast and put that on Pinterest. Like,
yeah.
I'm all about Pinterest. I am as basic as it gets. Like, Jell-O molds, everything.
Yeah.
Fish molds, less so. But
well, if somebody's listening and they think that they're able to do that, we would be more than happy to work with them.
I know somebody.
Do you?
I'll put you in touch.
All right, put me in touch. Because that's the thing. Like, it's one more thing. You know, like, we try to figure out how we can balance our time as well as possible.
My friend Haley is like one of the most incredible typography drawers. Like she can look at anything and recreate it as a painting. She painted the Golden Girls. It's great.
She painted the Golden Girls?
Yes, and it looks like a photo.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
It's anything she paints, it looks like somebody snapped a photograph.
Wow.
It's insane. Just a couple quick questions to wrap up this interview, because this went by so fast, especially after all of our technical issues at the first part. What would you say that your biggest challenge as a band has been?
Being a band.
Everybody's voices.
Yeah. I mean, it that is the biggest challenge. When you walk into the studio with a song idea, and your mind just you're in heaven because you just wrote something, and you're like, man, everybody's gonna love this. Yeah, right. They're gonna be like, especially Jeremy, if he were here, he would definitely. We're not talking about him behind his back. It's 100% true.
He knows.
He will absolutely mutilate your song. He will say like, that's great. Let's change the whole thing. I like that part only. Could you do something with that part? So. I mean, when we get over ourselves, we end up accomplishing some. It just takes a little while to get over ourselves because you just spent all this time on something that you felt really cool about, and that's the biggest thing, is working together on a song.
What would you say is the highlight of being a band, or your highlight as your career as a band?
The highlight of our career so far, thus far, all the amazing radio stations that we never expected to play us. You know, that's been pretty. Every day. I don't know. I guess I live it day by day. Do you have anything specific that you would think of? Ben, this is Ben's first time around in a band. So he's been suffering with us for 5 years plus now. And he can't seem to find a better band to join, so.
He's just trapped.
Applications keep getting rejected.
Do you need to sign something to me that you need help? Like, are you stuck in this band?
They won't let me
send
out.
Smoke signals.
What you don't see is afterwards we put him in a cage and he has to go back. Has there been anything that's a highlight for you off the top of your head?
I can't really think of anything, honestly.
Yeah, it's hard because being around music so long, it's hard to just say specifically, because there's me personally, and maybe Ben agrees and maybe the other guys agree, is people. It's I don't really know any other reason for doing music other than the people, and that's not saying that because we want people to feel like, you know, we're patronizing them. We're not. It's when one person comes via whether social media or in person, says, you know, I needed this song today. Mm-hmm. And you're like, wow. You know, like, that's just, it's always so mind-blowing whenever somebody says that, or when a person even retweets on Twitter, this, you got to check out this band, they really touched my heart today. You're like, phew. There's no greater feeling than that. I guess I liken it to a father. It's you know, I care about each one of my children, and they bring me pride and joy. So this is like being a dad, and whenever somebody gets it, you're like, awesome. Because there's no greater, we could play festivals all day, but if no one's connected to it, then you just, why are you there? You know, it's not about us. We could... I don't know. I really don't take us so seriously that we think we're amazing. We've arrived. So when somebody says, "Man, that's really cool," you're like, "Thank you." I mean, like, thank you.
If someone is listening to this podcast and they've never heard your music before, what is one particular song that you would want them to listen to?
Particular song? Ben would probably say a different song. I would say Tears. It's a song that hasn't made it to radio, but it encapsulates all that we are. It's where it all began for Mawcore. If it wasn't for that song, Mawcore probably wouldn't have made it anywhere, because it was the point of, for me, it was the point of healing and you know, we were stuck. And when that song just started to pour out, it became real that we could maybe do this again. So that's the song. Ben, you got a song?
It's hard to pick one. I mean, I guess until we get the next album out,
mm-hmm.
the one I would say would be Bottom Feed, because that's closest to what we're writing now.
Right.
Like who we are now as a band, all six of us.
Mm-hmm. Other people have said they like Boldly Afraid, which I was not expecting. That was a song that I just didn't expect people to like. It just, I like it, of course, because we wrote it, but I've had more people say they like Boldly Afraid, and I'm like, oh, I don't know what they're connecting to, but that's cool, you know? It's nice to hear those things.
And sort of our last question before we have you guys plug, what are you guys listening to that you would recommend our listeners go and check out?
Enya?
Okay.
Tool.
Yeah.
You're listening to Tool?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just asking. I'm making sure. I mean, Maynard would be happy that you're listening to him. Hey, buddy,
how you doing? Give me a call sometime.
I don't know if you want Maynard to call you.
No.
I don't think that would be a good conversation.
He's an odd individual.
Man, you're making me think, like, what would be Mute Math. They need to listen to Mute Math.
Wow, I haven't heard that name in a long time.
That's a phenomenal band with a phenomenal musician. Like, they're all amazing, and they can teach people how to play music. And,
oh my god, I haven't heard that name in a long time.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alright, this episode is going to come out in 3 weeks.
Okay.
But website, Instagram, social media, obviously Pinterest, Mockcore the band. just anything where people can find you, anything that's coming up that people should be looking out for.
Just, yeah, I mean, you can, YouTube's a cool place. We would love to have more subscribers on YouTube because they changed everything on there. Mm-hmm. And we're not really utilizing it the way we want to. So YouTube, it would be, it's just Mockcore Music on YouTube. Facebook is Mockcore Music. Twitter is just Mockcore. Instagram is Mockcore Band Music. All these things. You find out, like, Mockcore is actually a very popular gamer name. Never thought about that because it means wellspring.
Yeah.
And so gamers in the online community use it as a power name. They get to rejuvenate quickly.
Okay, I see that.
Yep. So some places have already claimed the name, and you're like, you punk. I've messaged the one guy on YouTube. I messaged him, he never responded. I'm like, you haven't even used this YouTube for 5 years. Get rid of it already.
Please give it to me.
Exactly. If there isn't a place somebody could find us, let me know. And that's really what I would, because I'm going to be there. We will make sure we get there, because it's all about exposure. We may not be able to be there all the time, but it's all about where you are. And so,
were you on Vine?
I didn't think about that. We will be.
It doesn't exist anymore. So.
No. Oh!
But there's a new new app now pretty much Vine. It's called Oevo.
I've seen that.
Oevo.
I signed up for it.
I really now need to start getting sponsorships for the things that we're saying, because I know they sponsor everybody.
We even signed up for a German version of Facebook, because of Russia, not German.
I was gonna say, what?
Russia. They're, because apparently in Russia, you have to use a different service.
That doesn't surprise me.
No. But we're just sitting there, because mm-hmm. I don't know how to use it, and I don't really want to spend the time to find out how to use it or ask anybody else, because
there's a wealth of Russian followers that you just haven't tapped into yet.
There definitely is a wealth of them. I just don't know how much time we can spend on it right now. Maybe if we had somebody listening who wants to help us with that. The page is already ready to go.
Aunt Melina, I have a job for you. Okay, that was...
It's really difficult to use. Extremely difficult to use.
Well, especially if you don't, if you can't read.
Well, they actually do it in English.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that that's the beautiful thing of it. It is in English, but they make it really difficult. Like, it's almost like they don't want you to sign up. They probably don't.
My face was just like, wow. All right, that was awesome. I really enjoyed that.
All right, that does it for another episode of the Flat Nickel Podcast. A couple of things you can do to help us out. Please leave a 5-star review on iTunes. Subscribe to us wherever you might be listening, be it iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher, and share the podcast with a friend. You can find us on Instagram and Facebook at Flat Nickel Podcast, and be sure to tune in next Wednesday at 11 a.m. for a brand new episode.